This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Rich Eisen Show.
Stafford takes, fires one down the middle. This one is intercepted, picked off by Boogie Basham of the Bills.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I love Matthew Stafford. There was a couple unfortunate balls that get tipped up, but we're going to keep riding.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, five-time Pro Bowl defensive back Richard Sherman. Coming up, actor and author Brian Baumgartner. Pro Football Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show here on the day after the NFL season kicks off in Los Angeles, California. Also home to Big Ten football. Who knew? We're here in Los Angeles getting ready for a terrific hour number two. Peyton Manning's calling into this program in 20 minutes to talk about his College Bowl program that he's hosting with his brother Cupper. And of course, we'll hit him on what happened here last night in Los Angeles, California. But we have an in-studio guest to kick us off here in hour number two. If you missed Richard Sherman in hour one, just check him out on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. There's a new book out. Anybody who wants chili, and who doesn't, Seriously Good Chili Cookbook, 177 of the best recipes in the world. The man who authors this and is now also the host of a new podcast, Off the Beat Podcast. A terrific player of the game of golf. I'm not done introducing you. A fan of the National Football League. And, of course, he's repping the Green Bay Packers here today.
Yes, sir.
From back of the day on The Office, Brian Baumgartner. Good to see you, bud.
Great to see you. Thank you for having me on.
Seriously good.
It's seriously good. It's seriously. Get the pun, the play on words there. It's not humorous. It's serious.
It's seriously good. Oh, I love it. The Seriously Good Chili Cookbook, 177 of the best recipes in the world. I can kind of figure what gave you the idea to do this, but yeah. I'll ask you anyway. Go for it, Brian.
Yeah, so obviously there's a scene from The Office that has become only more and more famous.
Yes.
Since the show ended. And I never made chili before. This is not something I'm from the South. I enjoy chili. And one day it was football season. I made chili for some friends and I thought, why don't I take a picture? And maybe people will think this is fun. Sure. People went bananas. Mm-hmm. And I started getting into it, started making it more and more. And then I visited last year the World Championship Chili Cook-Off in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'm going again in 2 weeks. It was insane. Hundreds of people cooking chili, competing, and they're all award winners from their sectionals and their
top
regions. They're the top of the line.
Of course.
And I got a bunch of their recipes, my own recipes, some fans, some celebrity chefs, some regular chefs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, hopefully we can get 100. That was our goal. Mm-hmm. I ended up being 177.
So I was asking you, where did that number come from?
It came from that's how many we thought were worth being in the book. Yeah, that's as simple as
so
that.
So is there a 178th recipe where just like you called somebody, like, did you get the, you make the cut?
Nah, that one,
bring
that
your
one
playbook,
didn't make the cut.
Bring your chili playbook.
Yeah.
You didn't make the cut. Oh, man, that is amazing. You know, and it's amazing how the world works, Brian, too, because, I mean, for this show, you see our logo is me running in a suit, and I never thought in a million years I would ever do anything where the logo is me running A or B in a suit, but that's what I did at the combine one time when I just was bored sitting next to Terrell Davis at a combine, and I asked him how fast he think he could run the 40, and he said right now, and I was dressed in my suit getting ready to do NFL Network. He laughed at me. I cursed at him, and I ran and had no idea they would capture it on TV, and then they ran it on TV, and now it's just, it's become such a thing where, thank goodness, I have a show with a logo that like that. Chili, just for you, is now, I mean, because of that scene in The Office.
Yes.
Can you walk me through the genesis of that scene in The Office, Brian, with the chili?
I thought it was funny, but I never imagined that it would catch on like it did. I mean, I had no idea as we were filming it, end of the day, me alone, that it would ever end up being something that I would be talking about 12 years later with you and writing a book. And I mean, it's totally crazy. My biggest memory from that day was, one take. Rich, I'm a professional. Yeah. So, yes.
Because that would be hell of a cleanup to say, let's do it again.
That's right. And I came, like, kind of, the set decorator guy kind of, like, half sweating to me under his breath, like, not wanting anyone else to hear, but like, Brian, we only have three carpets. Like, we got to get this done. Like, don't screw this up. And so there was that. There were multiple wardrobe, you know, outfits for me to change into. But I don't think anyone understood how difficult a task it would be to clean me. Like, my physical body. Like, my hands were stained, like, that kind of brownie reddy color. Yes, and so I was standing. They had playback capabilities on some days when we were doing complicated things. And I was standing at the monitor behind the director, Greg Daniels, our producer, was there. Everybody is there.
Yeah.
Dripping off of me. I mean, just chili dripping off of me. And they're trying to peel my coat off and just going, please say you got it. Please say you got it. Please say we're good. Please say we're good. And that night, Angela Kinsey, who I know is a friend of yours, Oscar Nunez, and I had a dinner planned at Mastro's in Beverly. We would do accountants' dinners.
Okay.
And we had a dinner plan pre-existing there. Oscar, because he's a moron, always orders the giant seafood tower that nobody eats. I mean, that's the par for the course. Nobody eats it, but like shrimp and legs, all this stuff.
For 10.
Yeah, like, and it's the three of us, and one of them is Angela Kinsey. And we're sitting there, and I pick up a shrimp or whatever, because you eat with your hands, these things. This is even the in polite society.
Yeah.
And I pick it up, and all I smell is chili. Just chili all over. The night was ruined. I think I just started drinking and let it go.
But when they brought out the container.
Yes.
And the actual chili was in it.
Yes.
And it was go time. What was going through your head, Brian?
Well,
I mean,
don't screw it up. One, right. Yes. I mean, really.
Heavy. I mean, it was heavy. And,
incredibly heavy.
Right.
Should I share the secret?
Please. Go for it, Brian. Go.
I don't know that I've shared this before.
But I love when guests say such a thing. Okay, so
I know. So the bottom half was styrofoam. Yeah. And it was genius because it made it top heavy. So easy. Because they were like, we did all these tests.
Yeah.
We filled it with chili. And there's no way for this to flip out. Like, you would have to hoist it to get it out.
Right.
So they were like, we put in styrofoam on the bottom, then a bunch of chili, obviously, a lot, on top. But it made it top heavy, and I was able to spill it. I don't think I have ever shared that before. Exclusive on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't think I've shared that before, but yes, that was the truth.
And was it scripted to use documents and other papers to try and scoop it up as well? Or is that was your ad-libbing right
there,
Brian?
I only thought about this last week because people always ask us how much of the show is improvised.
Yes, yeah.
That scene became improvised once I was on the floor. Yes. And I think I may be wrong grabbing the file thing to try to scoop it back in. I think that was me. And if not, I'm going to take credit for it. So there you go. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on an episode of your Office Deep Dive podcast right now, man. I mean, like, we're going deep dive. And again, it's the genesis of the seriously good chili cookbook. It's not the, it's kind of like the old Sky Dome in Toronto. It's Sky Dome, not the Sky Dome.
So yes, or like NFL Network, not the NFL Network.
Right.
right.
Look at me.
Look at you. Seriously Good Chili Cookbook, 177 of the best recipes in the world, right here with New York Times best-selling author Baumgartner on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm looked through. I did not see Aaron Rodgers' ayahuasca chili recipe, Brian. I didn't see any of that. Did he not provide for you?
He did. No, there is not a recipe from him in there. There is not. But many others. Oscar Nunez wrote the foreword,
okay,
actually.
Well, his Omaha Prime Chili recipe, that is not a Peyton Manning. That is not. But I love it. You got, and there are the pictures and the people who have provided it.
We told stories in there, man, both about the show and about chili that I think are really fun for people. And that's the thing is, people think like, how chili recipe, it's either spicy or it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Like, white chili, green chili verde, meat, beans, no beans. It's an amazing collection. And I have started making recipes from the book that I've never made before. Made a white chicken, white bean, white chili a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely delicious, unlike anything I'd ever made. And so I'm so thankful to everyone who contributed, sent in recipes to the book. It was it was a lot of fun.
It's neat, and I'm just like thumbing through it. It's just fun. The layout is great. The photographs are obviously, the finished products are on the right, and then on the left is the recipes, and then Good to Know info. The fourth, did you guys know this? The fourth Thursday in February is National Chili Day.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Who knew that?
I just
learned that on the braised short rib and chorizo chili page.
That sounds great.
Time, 2 hours, 45 minutes, like a taught baseball game.
I love
two
chorizo.
45.
I am right there. Salivating.
Make six servings, so we could do the whole studio that way. Oh, here's the white chicken chili. Is that the one that you're referring to?
It's not, but that's a variety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. The Packers, in all honesty.
Yes. We got my shirt.
I know, 13 wins seasons in a row.
Yes.
Three of them. And now Rodgers is without Davante Adams, and thus everybody's like, forget it. It's the Vikings division.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that subject matter, Brian?
I mean, look, I heard your good old friend Dan Patrick yesterday picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, there's a couple of things. One, the last 3 years, you probably know this better than me, that Davante Adams hasn't played. They haven't lost a game.
That was last year. They handed the Cardinals their first loss of the season.
That's
in
right.
A game in which Davante Adams did not play. Correct.
Here, I think, with all due respect to the Bills and Saints and some others.
You are aware that you're now allowed to completely disrespect them because you gave the caveat of with all due respect.
Correct. I think the Packers may have the best defense in football. And I think they're going to win.
That's true.
But they're going to win differently this year. And they don't have to put up 31 to win this year, I don't think. I expect a similar season to how it's been the last 3 years.
Which is a highly successful 13-win campaign with a top seed for...
Just stop. 13 wins and being near or at the top of the NFC. And this is the year defense wins championships.
Which would be, as you point out, a completely different way,
a different way of winning for them.
You know, right? And when you do talk to your friend Aaron, do you notice a more calm, cool, just chill dude?
Because
he says he's connected. He's in connection with himself, his chi, his tea, his whatever he's drinking.
Yes,
you know. I mean, you notice that
he seems calm. I didn't see him toward the end of the summer. I saw him in Tahoe, obviously, at the American Century. He seems very happy, content, feels good, and you know, hopefully we start out. Hopefully the year starts a little better than last year. The game against the Saints.
Well, I mean, they got the Vikings up first. I mean, right out of the gate.
That's Minnesota. That's big.
That is big.
Yeah. We'll see.
Michael Irvin picked Kirk Cousins to be the MVP of the season.
Yeah, well, that tells you something about Michael Irvin.
I don't know what's in his chili. Before I let you go, what's the Off the Beat pod? What's the pod here?
So, yeah, you mentioned before the Office Deep Dive. Mm-hmm. Where I talked to my old friends from The Office about the show and why it's now the most watched show in television, bigger than it was when we were on. And I just love doing it. I just love talking to people.
Right.
And, you know, spoiler alert, there's a finite people to talk to who worked on The Office. Like that number ends, and I wanted to keep going. And so I brought in other friends that I'd worked with on other shows. Mm-hmm. And now people that I'm meeting for the first time and really talking about a director I worked with once said to me that great comedy and to me moments in your life happen off of the beat, off the expected rhythm of how you think life is going to go. And so this podcast is really examining from people those moments that help shape them and where they ended up. So from Eric Dickerson to Paul Walter Hauser, who is going to be on the podcast soon.
He's been in here.
Yeah.
He's been in that chair.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm having so much fun doing it. It's been a blast. Busy Phillips, I just is going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's been great. And I love it. So if that kind of thing interests you, definitely check it out.
Well, I mean, was the, I don't want you to give too many away, but was the life-altering moment for Eric Dickerson getting the free car at SMU? Was that what's the,
we discussed it.
I bet.
We discussed, and that's where Hail to the Red and the Blue, the Mustangs of SMU. That's my alma mater as well.
We have Cortland Sutton coming on in hour number three of the Denver Broncos.
I'll tell you a quick story, because this is Rob Riggle. I've known Rob forever. Mm-hmm. He was on an episode of The Office, and we play quite a bit of golf together, and he was a Marine.
Yes.
And I knew he was a Marine, and I know now he's a comedian. And I don't know, we never had this conversation. I figured, oh, he, you know, did his service, and then he left and became a comedian actor. He was a Marine for 23 years.
Yes, he was. Right.
And his time was up. His commanding officer said, I want you to stay. And he said, no. And he said, why? He said, I'm going to go be a comedian. Guy laughs at him. He's like, what can we do to get you to stay? And Rob, in this moment, says, I guess transfer me to L.A. or New York. The next day, he had his papers to New York. He was a Marine by day, went to comedy clubs, and took classes at night.
He's amazing.
And started his career. I mean, that story alone, like how he was transformed and how that is a part of who he is. It's just awesome. So things like that.
If you need a guest, I'm happy to do that. I got so many stories about how I try to get started in this business and door slammed in my faces and all sorts of things like
you're
that.
On.
You're up for it. I'd be more than happy to reciprocate.
On.
I mean, you've been so kind to come on this show. Seriously Good Chili Cookbook, 177 all-time of the best recipes in the world. Check it all out here from Brian Baumgartner. You're welcome here anytime, sir.
Thank you for coming on.
You got it.
All right, we'll golf soon.
Let's do it. That's Brian Baumgartner, everybody. I follow him on Twitter. You should as well. When we come back, the great Peyton Manning right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our terrestrial radio audience just returned with Odyssey. And again, our YouTube stream, youtube.com/RichEisenShow. This is the last day for that. We're migrating to the Roku channel
on Monday. Free to stream on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TVs, Fire TV, and the app, which is can be downloaded to any mobile device, and then the RokuChannel.com. We're free, by the way. Just want to let you know that. Love this guy, and I wouldn't say that just because he's on hold hearing me introduce him. Pro Football Hall of Famer. The Monday nights that the Mannings have put on for us last year, my kids dig it. I love it. I just love when Eli and Peyton do their thing on Monday Night Football. Can't wait to see what they're doing for this year. But to kicking off with back-to-back episodes tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC, the sophomore season of the Capital One College Bowl, hosted by Peyton and Cooper Manning. And joining us on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line, is none other than Pro Football Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Rich. Doing well. Thanks for having me, pal.
You, anytime. Congrats on everything going on with you. What is life like for you? I mean, are you taking pitches and you're checkmarking stuff on Omaha Productions and then getting ready to watch football? Seriously, I mean, how do you spend your day, Peyton? What's going on with you?
I mean, believe it or not, I actually do say no to some things. Eli says nobody believes that.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't, that's not true, but I actually do. I'm excited football is here. Looking forward to Tennessee Vols hopefully having a good season, the Broncos and Colts getting started on Sunday and Monday, and last night's game was awesome. I'm a youth coach on my son's sixth grade football team, so we're playing Saturday morning. So football is here, which is good. So I'm busy, but kind of good busy, kind of busy on my own terms. And this College Bowl show, we filmed it in the summer in Atlanta for a week. It was a great week with Cooper. You know, Rich, you and I have talked about it many a time out at the Pro Bowl. It was always a goal of mine to be a game show host. And to finally check that box has been big. And then, I get to work with Cooper in College Bowl. I get to work with my brother Eli for Monday Night Football. You know, I enjoy keeping them employed. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was born, put on the planet to give away cash and prizes, but now you're doing that as well. What game shows did you watch growing up, Peyton? Which ones did you watch growing
probably
up?
Probably all the same ones you did.
Price is Right.
$25,000 Pyramid.
$25,000.
Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. You know, I was big into the soap operas. I was watching, you know, Days of Our Lives. I was also watching Dynasty in Dallas with my mom at night. So probably a weird kid. But, you know, the College Bowl is a little bit different. I mean, Rich, the one thing that hooked me about this was that the grand prize, like you said, the prizes they're playing for are college scholarships. I'm a big believer in scholarships. Been a big part of my giving at my alma mater. It's some HBCUs. We just named the Demaryius Thomas Scholarship at Georgia Tech in his honor to someone from his hometown. We started the Mara Mant Scholarship.
Good for you.
Of course, you were part of and know Mara. So it's been a great way to pay it forward, to give someone else an opportunity, but also to pay tribute to someone. So the College Bowl aspect, that's kind of what intrigued me. These kids are competing. They're playing hard. Cooper and I are trying to stay out of the way, but they're playing for life-changing scholarships, which can pay off student debt, send them to grad school, help their younger brother go to college. So that was the coolest part about it.
Yeah, and Columbia University trying to hold on to their back to defend the title, Peyton.
Back to defend. It was better this year, Rich. We had 16 teams.
Yep.
We had a live audience. You know, last year didn't have that due to COVID. Coop. Open mic into the audience. You know, that's where he thrives, with an open mic in front of a crowd. We had bands. We had mascots. So it was just a better overall show. I felt it was more fun to do because there were no COVID restrictions. And so it starts tonight, and hopefully people will enjoy it.
And I love it behind breaking down the numbers behind the matchups. The man with the second most famous khakis to Jim Harbaugh, Steve Kornacki. You got him going on there, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
he's a blast.
We brought Steve in from some analysis, you know, whether it's politics or College Bowl. Steve's always there.
He gets after it.
He was huge. I mean, Rich, for me, I'm not going to lie, you know, Cooper just sort of like, you know, wings everything, right? You know, he chimes in. You know, there's no filter. He knows it's not live or editing. For me, I literally had an hour of pronunciation meeting every morning. I'm like, I don't know what this word means, but here's how I want it spelled in my monitor. And my Tennessee phonetics This woman didn't know how to handle it. I'm like, SUH-TUH-. She's like, that's not how I normally do it. I'm like, well, that's how we have to do it today because I don't know how to pronounce it.
You like that, TJ? That's good. That's great. Oh, man. Peyton Manning here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. Let's jump into the football, if you don't mind. What was your impression of the season opener last night, Peyton?
Whew. Rams looked great. Wow. They hitting on all cylinders. Yeah.
No, I know.
Zero Super Bowl hangover for them. You know, it was surprising to me. I mean, I thought, Buffalo was good. I didn't know they were going to be that good going into that place. I played the Patriots on a Raise the Banner show the highlights from last year game, and it's tough. I mean, it's always tough playing in New England, but, I mean, the team, it's not like they're still thinking about last year. They're fired up. The crowd's into it. So for the Bills to go in there and do that to the Rams, real credit to them. Josh Allen was a freak. Vaughn was a freak. Diggs was a freak. And look out, AFC, because Buffalo's for real.
Well, I mean, what about Allen's game might be improved to me is it just – I don't know. It seems that whatever you might throw at him or whatever the Rams were particularly going to throw to him, he handles it. He might even just run over it, run through it. He seems to maybe neck up be more improved. I know it's just four quarters, but I'm wondering what your keen eye and quarterbacking saw out of Allen last night that we might see a whole different beast, because that's what he is, Peyton.
No, I agree. You can tell he's worked hard this offseason. Look, he's motivated. I mean, that's an angry team, right? They are angry and frustrated after losing that playoff game to the Chiefs in the fashion that they did. So I like an angry team, right? I don't want a team comfortable and happy. And I thought Josh's decision-making was just quick last night, whether it was to get the ball out of his hand or to tuck it and run it, right? I mean, he's so athletic. He can hold the ball in the pocket for a long time, but for him to make those quick decisions, a couple times down the red zone, it wasn't there, boom, take off and run, right? Scrambles out, you know, boom, quick throw down to Diggs down the sideline. So, you know, even though he's athletic and can run, you still want your quarterback making quick decisions, whether it's to get the ball out of his hands or to turn and run, and you could see that evident last night.
And what about a second-year leap for Joe Burrow? I'm fascinated by him and the Bengals because so many people – Peyton, overlook what we could expect from Cincinnati in year two because they're the Bengals. But, I mean, you know, you could have said that about the Bills because of all the years of their troubles, but they're now the Bills. It's a different story, right? So what do you think of Burrow and having been to the Super Bowl before, as you know, and what he could take out of that and come in with maybe even more improved in year two?
Yeah. I think the Bengals are here to stay. I don't think this is a one-year deal, and we'll hear from the Bengals in 20 years. As long as Burrow's back there, I mean, they are going to be in every game. He's angry. He's motivated. You know, Joe's not the kind of guy that's happy with going to the Super Bowl, right, and getting beat. And that's just not how he's wired. So I like him angry and motivated, which is good for Cincinnati. That division is going through a lot of change, as you know. So, you know, the days of, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore being just a two-man race in that division is just not the case anymore. I mean, both those teams will always be in it, but Cincinnati has made their statement, and the division is on notice. And I can relate to that, you know, being with the Colts, you know, Rich, for years, you know, the Colts were kind of a circled win in the old AFC East, right? I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh had some great years there. That was different. But for a while, you know, when the Bills and the Dolphins were coming to play Indianapolis, Marino and Kelly weren't exactly sweating, okay? It was a circled win. And the goal is not to become a circled win, right? And in 1999, we beat Buffalo in the opening game, and everybody kind of said, wait a minute, maybe the Colts aren't the same old Colts, or the Bengals aren't the same old Bengals anymore. and that's because of Burrow. And as long as he's there, they're going to have a chance.
Peyton Manning, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Capital One College Bowl kicks off its sophomore season. In television terms, that's year two. Back-to-back episodes tonight at 8 Eastern on NBC. A few more minutes left with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Matt Ryan and your old digs, how is that going to change fortunes, do you think, for the Colts? You're already hearing Michael Pittman say, you better be in spots now, where last year we weren't talking about that because Matt likes it a certain way. You're the king of liking it a certain way, certainly in that building, in that town. What do you think about Ryan in Indianapolis, Peyton?
Yeah, I'm pulling hard for him. He reached out to me kind of during the off season, and you asked me a few questions about Indianapolis, and immediately I just felt like, boy, this would be a great marriage. Great for Matt in kind of a second chapter for him as Atlanta's kind of rebuilding, and just what Frank Reich has needed. Look, the Colts have been searching since Andrew Luck retired to try to find some stability at quarterback, and it'd be nice to have the same quarterback for a couple of years in a row and not just kind of a, you know, 1 year transition plan. And I think Matt is hungry. I think Matt still has things that he feels like he needs to prove. I don't really see that. I think Matt is done it all, but obviously he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but still he's had an incredible career, but he's wired differently also, and that he's motivated. And I've heard Reggie Wayne say that, you know, Matt is holding those receivers accountable, wants those guys in the right place because he's going to get the ball to them. And when you bring a quarterback in like Matt or Russell Wilson to Denver, wide receivers, it changes their fortunes, right? They are going to get the ball on the backside of a play that they haven't gotten it in 3 years because everybody is live. All five receivers are live every single play. And that's what a good quarterback can do. He keeps those guys involved. And so they're going to run hard for him. They're going to play hard for him, make catches across the middle. So I'll be pulling hard for Matt and the Colts this year.
And what advice do you have for Russell Wilson? I mean, talk about no chill by the NFL schedule makers game one in his new spot. I mean, what, you had like 7 weeks, right, before you had to go back,
yeah,
right, to Indianapolis?
I thought that was a little I thought that was a little dirty by the commission and the league. And the schedulers, I mean, yeah, like, can he play a game in his current uniform,
right,
like, in Houston before he gets to go play?
For instance, yeah.
In the place where he played for 10 years? I mean, seriously, like, I could see him going to the wrong locker room, the wrong sideline, because, I mean, Russell is calm and cool, and you hear him say, you know, it's not going to be any different, and I'm going to be in control, and maybe he will, but there's going to be a lot of emotions. And look, he's never played there as an opponent. He's never dealt with the crowd noise there. So, but the NFL is smart, right? It's going to be must-see TV. And hopefully a couple people will watch my brother make fun of me as we're talking about the game on Monday night. But I see Russell playing well, Rich. I really do. I see him being calm and cool in the moment. And look, might have a three and out to start. Could be some, you know, some butterflies they haven't played, but I see them eventually kind of getting in a rhythm. At the same time, look, Seattle, I love Pete Carroll, right? I mean, you know, somebody says they're rebuilding. Pete Carroll says, no, absolutely not. We are rolling. So I think Pete will have that group fired up. And so from that standpoint, it'll be a good game.
So last one to bounce off you, Peyton Manning, before we send you into your College Bowl Friday. Look, you didn't, I'm sure, want anybody talking for you when the media was wondering if it's your last season. So I know I tread lightly when I ask you to comment on Tom Brady here. But his comment where he's like, you know, I'm 45 with a lot of ish going on, certainly gave me pause to think like, okay, he loves the sport. He can't quit it for the obvious reasons, right? But maybe, just maybe, this is his last year. I'm wondering what you took out of that comment and thoughts on this subject matter, Peyton.
It certainly should probably give people pause to kind of just think about it, and everybody's going to try to analyze what it means. I haven't spoken to Tom, you know, much during training camp. I keep in touch with Clyde Christensen, his quarterback coach. You know, he and I don't go there as far as, hey, tell me what's going on with Tom. I just kind of talk football with him and, you know, talk about each other's families. So I think only Tom, like you said, can speak for himself. He sent me a picture when they played in Indianapolis of Lucas Oil Stadium, and he and I have laughed through the years. I mean, he's convinced the Colts used to pipe in crowd noise, and you know, I was behind it. I was the DJ on the crowd noise. Of course, you know, Deflategate's one of his favorite topics with the Colts, and he hates the Colts equipment manager, so we laugh about that.
What's the photograph he sent you? What's the picture he sent you? What do you of a speaker?
He sent a picture of Lucas Oil Stadium and just said, "What the heck am I doing here?" And I kind of took it as, you know, like I'm back in this place that I don't like very much. But, you know, it probably is a little bit. Even Tom is probably amazed and surprised at himself that at this age he's still playing a preseason game in Indianapolis. And so I just kind of sent a ha-ha text back and didn't try to overanalyze it. But, you know, look, if it is going to be his last year, I hope he does kind of slow down and enjoy the journey, right? And, I mean, he could have four more last years, but just to kind of hurry through it and kind of get through the season and not think about it, that's not the right approach. And so if you start seeing him reminiscing a little bit or getting a little bit sentimental on certain situations, then that's a good thing, I think. He deserves it. But, I mean, I don't see him coming out and saying, "This is my last year," and doing the video tributes and bringing the rocking chair like they did for Kareem out. You know, I don't see him going that approach. But, you know, I'm sure it's on his mind. And, you know, from that standpoint, that's probably a good thing.
I can't wait to – how many are you and your brother doing this year? Are you doing the full slate, or you're going to take some time off, or what are you doing?
We're doing 10 games. Okay. I'm not, you know, look, I don't want to see Eli that much. Right? But to have to see him every Monday night, like, you know, no good. So just doing 10, kind of spread out throughout the season. Got some good games, got some good rivalries, got some great guests again. I'm going to announce these guests here in a couple of days for the first week, and we'll have some repeat guests. I mean, Condoleezza Rice, Snoop Dogg, absolute no-brainers. But a couple people passed last year, so we've kind of reached back out to them to see if they'll maybe come back and join us. And the number one criteria, Rich, is they have to love football, right? That's the thing. And whether they're in politics, sports, or acting or whatnot, they have to love football. And I like hanging around people that love football as much as I do.
Well, you know, I told you this, Peyton, and I'll say it again. You know, and you're a natural at it, but and you have the unfortunate aspect of this construct. You're in the time zone of the dinner hour. Eli can have his dinner before the game. Just you got to go off camera. I mean, I don't know how many times they've been sneaking you. You know, taking a big old bite of a wing, and you almost take your hand off with you. You can avoid it, is what I'm saying, Peyton. You know,
I tried. Eli, I think, has threatened this cameraman. He's like, "If you don't follow him eating into the bathroom, then you're fired. You're out. I mean, they find me. I mean, this place I'm in has got some space now.
Right.
They find me, and it's all Eli. So, I'll work on it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I hate to say it, but you are better than that, Peyton. I mean, you can avoid it. You can avoid it. But I'm out there watching. So are my kids. So is America. And look forward to Capital One College Bowl tonight. Back to back episodes at 8 Eastern time with you and Cupper. And I cherish the times you call in. Thanks for doing it, Peyton. You're the man.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me, pal. See you soon.
Anytime. That's Peyton Manning, the one and only, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you go.
That was great.
I mean,
he's better than that. I just told Peyton Manning you're better than that.
That's great.
Peyton Manning's a man, man.
There you go.
He really is.
His United Way spot on SNL is a top 10 SNL moment, and that's in what, like year 50?
I've said
Peyton, his United Way commercial where he's winging the ball at kids telling them to be in certain spots that they're not holding up. They're not holding up their end.
I think I said that after the SNL. Rich, Peyton Manning could obviously do anything on this planet he wanted to do.
I know.
I also believe that Peyton Manning could be the star of a sitcom, and it would
there's no question. But
last
also
forever.
Peyton Manning could write whatever ticket he wants to call whatever games he wants.
True that.
And you look at Brady's $375 million contract. I mean, it's not even worth bringing up to Peyton because
instead of calling Monday Night Football in a booth and going all over the country for 20 weeks or what have you.
He changed the game.
What he does is he goes to his own studio and he calls the game anyway for his own production company with his brother in a unique way that is changing, that's outside of the box. And yeah. So he doesn't have to put the headset on and call like, well, let's take a look at that and do a telestrator. He can do the telestrator himself in his own home. And he has the rights to call the game, but for himself. And then he's got the College Bowl. He's got his own production company. He's coaching his kids on a Saturday, which you can't do if you're calling games.
True that, yeah.
So, you know, he's calling the games anyway, but only 10 of them, not 20 of them.
Well, he doesn't want to spend that much time with Eli. That's
that's funny. I mean, but that's the gag, you know, that these two guys who love each other as brothers are, you know, making fun of each other as brothers. I mean, he's doing what he's still calling the games, but for his own production company in his basement.
That's amazing.
That's what we call a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got everybody
watching. The
problem
is, though, if it's in his basement and it's mountain time and it's dinner time, he's either got to eat early or get the hell away from the camera and eat.
I think now it's become a thing.
I mean, it's just seeing a man of his stature just chowing down up to his elbow, you know, out of some piece of styrofoam. It's just like it's not becoming of him.
Yeah,
just saying.
It's become a thing now, I think, right? Like, you want to see Peyton grubbing.
All right, let's take a break here. And Major League Baseball has gotten it right. I have been barking about this for a long time, and baseball has done it.
You got a lot of problems with baseball.
Top of the hour, the next hour, is Chris Brockman's What's More Likely about the first football weekend of the National Football League season. And Courtland Sutton of the Denver Broncos. And you at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you are opening up more than just doors, people. You are unlocking potential. The potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Because each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set. To help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams, no matter how far off the beaten path they're going to take you. And with 16 body types, guess what? Your choice of a gas or diesel engine and thousands of ways to customize, guess what? A Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Let's go to the phone lines. Waiting the longest, Tyler in Oklahoma. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Right back at you.
Happy Friday, bro.
And it is a happy Friday because in the words of George Costanza, sometimes in life, the gods smile upon you, my friends.
They do, huh? What happened? What do you got?
Last night, I got a bunch of grief from my fantasy guys, my fantasy league, about starting Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and the Bills defense.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
This morning, I wake up with over 60 points.
Yes, you did.
Up
yeah, you
one
did.
Game.
Okay. You put all your eggs in that basket. Congratulations. Thanks for the call. You're feeling good.
And not only that, to top it all off, yes. The guy that talked the most ish, if you will, was playing me, and he started Cam Akers.
Oh, that's what you want. That's what yeah. you play fantasy for. Thanks for the call.
Your team's going to do well this year, man.
You play fantasy for making a move, and you get grief for it from the guy who talks the most ish, and he gets zero, and you get a billion. It's great. It's great. Wow. You know what's also great? What's also great, here's what's great.
It's what's great, Rich?
When you sit on a show like this one and a chair like this one and uh-huh. you say, this is what a sport needs to do.
And they do it?
And then they do it. Oh. Takes a while. Takes a while, but as you know, I have staying power.
You've been around for a while.
I've been around.
Like Biggie said, you've been in the game for years.
I've been around. The worst part about baseball is you take a third baseman and you stick him in right center field, and a left-handed hitter of your team hits a base hit
line
as
drive.
Long as you have been alive, it's a base hit off the bat. You know it's a base hit. You know it's hit hard. You know it's hit in a certain spot, and then it one hops into the glove of the third baseman standing in right center field, and then they throw to first, and that's it, out. And you're like, oh, great. Isn't that great? Wow. They know where to position that guy. Give the scouts a cookie. And you as a baseball fan, you're like, oh, God, I haven't seen somebody reach base in the last literally 12 minutes on the clock. Strikeout, foul out. Actually, somebody hasn't hit a ball fair. That's the first fair ball I've seen in 8 minutes. Okay, strikeout, pop out, foul out, walk. Oh, we got a rally going, two walks. It's been 7 minutes since the inning began. That's the problem with baseball.
Strikeout.
And then strikeout. And then two men on, inning lasted 10 minutes, not a single fair ball hit. And then the only fair ball that might be hit is hit into a shift where there's three guys to the right of second base. Well, the competition committee has gotten together, and even though the vote was not unanimous and the players voted against it, too bad. Now there will be two sets of infielders on either side of second base with both feet on the dirt. Yes. And they put a pitch clock in too. I need to see what this work looks like, but I'm told anybody who's seen it in the minor leagues loves it.
Yeah.
And it moves the game along. 15-second clock when the bases are empty, 20 with runners on. I'm assuming the clock starts again if you throw over to first, because I'm taking off. If, you know, the clock is down to one, you know the pitch has either got to go to home plate or there's a penalty. I think it's a strike ball penalty.
Well, I think you're
like
also
that.
Only allowed two throwovers per at bat. And the batter has to be ready at the 8 second mark.
It's going to be odd, and you're going to think, but guess what? We're moving along. And I do love the lyrical pace of baseball where you're just sitting back and chilling out. You'll still have it. You'll still have 15 pitch at bats. You'll still have it. You'll still have time in between innings and then relievers coming in and all of that. But what you're not going to see is zero hits because there's a shift. And I know there was a shift for Ted Williams. And I know that's been since old Ross Hadburn or whoever, you know.
Mr. Cogburn?
Since Grover Cleveland was president, you know, they had it. I get it. But now it's beyond the pale. It's too much, and it sucks the life out of a game. I'd rather see two men on than no men on and two out because the shift was positioned perfectly. Can't wait. Can we start now, please? Can we start now?
Well, no, they can't start.
I want rallies. I want runs. I want offense. Football got it right when they had the 5-yard chuck rule instituted. They got it right. Illegal contact drives me nuts, but more offense. Let's go. Move it along. Oh, love it. Well done, baseball. Well done. And to the people who voted against it, too bad. Too bad. The sport will thrive from it.
I believe it in my bones. I believe it. So there's that. I don't know what to bitch about baseball much anymore. The umpires are actually announcing their calls to the crowd. You know?
Yeah,
the shift is gone?
Don't
you handled
worry.
That.
Oh, I could just bitch about the Yankees screwing up the season. Do that.
I just, my problem is that Manfred only really cares about quickening the pace of play, right? And making game time short. He wants a 2.5 hour baseball game. But he's instituting all these rules that will provide more offense and longer innings, which means longer baseball games.
Maybe I don't think he wants shorter baseball games. He wants more action within the baseball game.
But if there's more action in there and the scores are 9-8, guess what? That means 3.5 hour baseball game.
But it makes it more watchable or more interest, and there'll more fantasy teams going on. Like, we just had a person calling in, like, I just beat the guy I can't stand in my fantasy. That you need the soft, you know, the fans who have you know, the soft interest, the casual fan. That's what you need.
Do we?
The sport, yes, you do. The sport is totally regionalized, Chris.
I know, but the problem is baseball thinks they're still America's pastime. They're third.
Well, they can't give up. They can't give up.
But they've lost. It's over.
I don't know
They're never going to be number one again. So just accept your spot at number three and then make the changes to the fans that care.
If you run the sport and you own a team, not the case.
The owners don't care. They make too much money to care.
False. We've had Tom Werner here. You've spoken to him on this very subject.
But they're screwing up my team too.
Well, that's the thing you can complain about.
Like,
more action. Let's go. LFG.
I'm almost done.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing? I'm going Timmy Trumpet right now on this development. Love it.